The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territories and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
Come on, give Jesus a better clap offering. Give him the best praise you can. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I want to share some few thoughts with you this morning. Just finish my four dimensions with you this morning. I don't want to wait to get into the new year. So those who said, well, they were resting to come in the night, too bad. Well, it's their loss. Praise the Lord. Let's do our affirmation real quick and get into the Word of God. I rely totally on the grace of God this year. By His grace, I will grow on every side. Growth in my spirituality, growth in my business, growth in my emotions, growth in my thinking, growth in my career, growth in my personal life, growth in favor and scope of influence. My best days are ahead of me. Amen. I am happy saying it for the last time in 2023. How many of you feel that you've grown in 2023? How many of you feel you've grown emotionally, you've grown spiritually, you've grown in so many areas of your life? If you can testify to this, wave at me that, well, I grew. I know I've grown. I mean, I went to play football a while back and somebody did me in, you know, bad tackle. Prior to that, if it was probably in 2022, 2021, 2017, 2095, when I stopped playing football, as in officially about 95, that time I would have looked for you. Not looked for you to fight you, looked for you in the game because you also have the ball. And pray that you'll not be on the sidelines. Oh, but I've grown. So I went to play football and somebody, and there was an occasion for redemption. And I allowed him to pass. And when I got to myself, I said, boy, you've grown. I mean, because that was a no-brainer. Oh, go with TVB. I mean, go with TVB. With TVB or with him. Oh, Jesus is Lord. You came with your Bibles. How many of you came with your Bibles? You did. I know everybody did. Those of you who use Apple, my TMH app is ready. Those of you that use iPhone, I think even those that are using Android, so you have your Bibles on it. You can write your notes. You can do all of that. You can watch everything we do. You can follow everything that we are doing. And they are developing it into a social media platform as well, where you can have interactions with people like Instagram does on the TMH app as well. So you can relate, you can react to things and stories and wish people well. So on the birthdays of people, you see them on our app popping like that. and it's beautiful. So those of you who have iPhone, maybe after the service, go to Apple Store and just type in the Maker's House. And I saw it on Apple, so I'm trying to be safe. But I think it's also on Android. You type in the Maker's House Apple Store, and it will give you the Maker's House app. You sign up with your membership number. You sign up with your membership number and your phone number that you gave the church. Then we'll send you an OTP. Then the OTP, use the OTP to create your own password. Then you create your own profile. You can upload your own picture you want, whatever you want. And so if you don't have a membership, okay. If you don't have the membership number, you can also log in without an account. So if you don't have it, you can log in, just that you won't get everything. That one, you can just log in and watch, but you can't do much. So, and you can get a membership number through it too. So you can sign up and then you can get membership stuff on it. Then it will get to us. Amen. You came with your Bible? I was saying that because if you did not come with your Bible and you had the app, King James Version, English Standard Version, NIV, all of those versions are on the app so that you can read and write notes, because we want you to develop. Amen. So if you came with your Bible, please lift it up and say, "This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I'll go where it says I can go. I will achieve what it says I can achieve. I'll be what it says I can be." Slap your chest and say, "I am a believer." Come on, do it again. Say, "I am a believer." I want to invite your hearts and minds to our anchor scripture for the journey that we embarked upon. That is the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 1. Ezekiel chapter number 1. From the verse number 4, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was the appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces. And everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had one the face of a man, number two the face of a lion, number three the face of an horse, and the last one the face of an eagle. So they had four faces, the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an horse on the left side, and on the rear side, they all had the face of the eagle." And that's where their faces. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray knowing that the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide forever. We pray that in this time that you've given to us, O God, to share and fellowship in your word, you give us a word that works. Anoint these lips of clay, make it an instrument of a blessing to somebody's life. Speak to me, speak for me, and speak through me, that the excellency of the power will be of you, that when it's all said and done, your people will be edified. And you are God and King of kings will be glorified. the name of the one who rules, reigns, and has regency, Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, we've prayed. Amen. I want you to look for one or two people and tell them, play up. Just play up. Just play up. I want you to look for people and tell them, play up. And if you've done that, please take your seats. We don't have all day, so I want to end this service as quickly as I can and get you ready for the crossover. It's a very important time for me. And I'll share a few things with you before we end the service today. We started this journey on the creatures that the man called Ezekiel had seen. Ezekiel was in exile when God gave him a vision. And the vision that he saw, because of those of you that hadn't been here since we started this, just giving you a brief recap of what we have been doing before our Thanksgiving service. Ezekiel was by the river and God gave him a great vision. The vision is a vision that I believe that if you had seen it, maybe you probably might have thought you were having nightmares, because he saw something that is not normal in our realm. Seeing a being that had the semblance of a human being, but had faces, not just one face, had faces and had wings and had eyes all around. And they had, their feet were like that of the calf. And the Bible says that when he saw them, and God gave him that vivid expression, when you are a student of theology, the first thing that is coming to your mind, because Ezekiel also had that same problem. He made the same mistake of thinking that he was seeing God. But until you get to the chapters 9 and 10, then you realize that these were cherubs in display. But they were closer to the throne of God. They stood by God. And so, just telling you that God, in his presence, allows certain things to be around him, because all the things that were made in the book of Colossians, the Bible says that all the things were made by him and for him, and in him all things consist. And so whether it is an eagle, the eagle comes from God. Whether it's a lion, the lion comes from God. The horse comes from God. The man emanates from God. Actually, the man is a God kind. And all these things are typologies of who this great God is. There is a nature of God that is depicted by the nature of these things that he saw. And so he started off with that of the eagle. And when we started the journey, I was telling you about how monogamous this animal, this bird is. The eagle is monogamous. The eagle doesn't believe in polygamy. The eagle marries once in its lifetime. The eagle gets caught once, gets married once, just gets into that space once. And when the eagle pledges love and loyalty to another eagle, that is to a wife or to a husband, that's for life. Come rain, come shine, that is for life. And that is what God wants you to have the understanding of, that you should have a singular vision. You cannot be married and be looking outside. You cannot have a husband and still tolerate the excesses that comes from other people. There are some things that should come to you. If God will allow in his presence a monogamous bed, it tells you that God wants you to have that kind of mindset as well. That before you say, I do, you have to know that this is a commitment. I'm not going into chicken out. We are churning out a lot of Christian marriages and also overseeing a lot of Christian divorces, because in our mindset, we don't think before we get in there, and we don't allow God to lead us before we get in there. But before you tell somebody, I do, it is a lifetime commitment that you are making, and it behoves on you as a child of God. It is incumbent on you as a child of God to stick with that person, because you chose that person before God.
The vows that you were making were not vows to be made unto men. It was not just the assembly of people. You made a vow before God. There were innumerable company of angels, and there were people there who officiated the wedding or the ceremony in the stead of God. They stood in the place of God and said all the things that they had to say just so that you will come together. And you don't just get into it and you say that I'm chickening out, I'm tired. You don't get tired on the journey. And so before you embark on a journey, the Bible says, who will build without first counting the cost? So before you get to that space of embracing somebody and kissing somebody, you may kiss the bride and you want all of us to close our eyes because you want to do the unthinkable in church. Before you do all of that, you should have thought about it. I want to say this and get it off my chest before we get into a new year. So that those of you that are married, you will know that God expects you to stay there. And those of you that are looking forward to getting married, don't think you are going to go into an experiment. That if I get married and the guy is that and is that, I'm out of it. You are in a generation where people think that soft life is the way of life. That life is supposed to come to you with cotton candy and bring you freebies, and everything's supposed to be an easy ride, an easy walk. And no, life is not like that. There are hard times, and that is why God has toughened you up, and that is why you have the Spirit of God in you, so that in the hard times you will say, my strength is of the Lord, and my strength comes from Him. And when it's tough, you stand on God's side. God is expecting all of us. I'm telling you, because these are problems. And when I look at the bird, that's what comes to mind. It's able to shed off its feathers and grow new ones. And some of us, the problem that we have is that some of the things we learned, the bad habits, we don't want to shed them off. We don't want, the eagle is able to lose its feathers. Maybe you were haughty and naughty and all of that, and that brought you somewhere. But the next phase of your life, you cannot keep that same character and attitude. You have to learn how to shed those feathers and grow new feathers. Those that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength and they shall mount up with wings like that of the eagle. I pray that as you go into a new year, there are certain habits that you are going to shed off. There are certain things that you are not going to get into the new year with. You are going to lose those feathers and tell yourself, I'm going to grow a new one. The eagle has the mastery to shed off its feathers and grow new ones. You have to have the courage to unlearn certain things you've learned. You have to have the courage. Maybe you grew up in a home where the men were beating the women. You have to shed that feather. You grew up in a place where the women were not respecting men. Shed that feather. You grew up in a place where people looked down on other people because they thought they had something or they've gotten somewhere. You have to allow that feather to leave your life so that you can grow a new feather. I came to sound just an alarm in the spirit realm that God wants to take you to a next level. God wants to move you up, but there are certain things that have become a weight to your destiny. And until you shed those feathers, you can pray from morning till night, but you'll not see the glory of God. We are talking about a year of glory, but there are certain things that need to leave your life for you to see the glory of God. There are certain things that you have to take out of your space before you can see the glory of God. Look at somebody and tell the person, you have to shed some feathers. Shed some feathers. Do I have some time to talk to you this morning? Look for somebody. Look for seven people. Tell them there are certain things you need to let them go. Be like the eagle. The eagle is able to shed some feathers off and grow new ones. Tell somebody, start learning new habits. Start learning new traits. Start Stop calling your husband Kofi Papa. Stop. I mean, how? How? Koyo Papa. I mean, na unu koyo Papa ni nama. Stop. Stop calling your husband. Unko There are certain things you have to start unlearning. Because whatever you call the man, he becomes. Let me rewind and press play. Whatever you call the man, he becomes. So when the woman called Sarah wanted to experience the provision, the protection, and the love of the husband called Abraham, he never called him Abraham. He always called him my Lord. Whatever you call your husband, he becomes. You have been calling him baby. I understand. It's modernistic. And in your modernism, you have relegated a full-grown man to a baby. I get you. I get you. That you look at a full-grown man, bearded, white-grayed, bearded man. Somebody who has a frontal projection. Full-blown man. And you look at him and call him baby. And if he is doing things that babies do, you are wondering why he is not acting maturely. You are calling him a baby. What do you expect? Now, if you are calling a man a baby, what? And he is acting like he's not growing. He's a baby. Go, whatever you call the man, tell somebody, whatever you call the man. I don't have all the time, but I want to share some things with you this morning. Tell somebody, whatever you call the man, he becomes. If you are sitting with your wife, ask your wife, what's been my name? Because... okay. Okay. Let me get out of that space. And so we did that of the eagle. We spoke about that of the lion. And we spoke about its power and its roar. That is able to sound an alarm and is able to warn off any encroachment. That if something is coming into its territory, it doesn't have to go into fight right away. It's able to sound the alarm, and the eagle roars for what it wants. It roars to protect its territory. It roars so that everything else around its space or in its territory will come to a standstill. And I told you that as a child of God, you have to gather the mastery of roaring. You have to learn how to roar. You have to learn how to speak for the enemy to know that you are still in charge. You have to mark your territory and roar in prayer. As you're going into 2024, I pray that God will ignite in you the ability to roar, that you'll not complain to men, but you will roar in the spirit, and you'll pray and claim whatever is yours. I pray for you right now that may the ability to roar be on your life even as you journey on. That God will give you what it takes to recover what God has placed on your life. That you take what is yours. The eagle stands for vision, but the lion stands for dominion. The lion dominates. The lion is the king of the jungle. It dominates. It's not because it's bigger than everybody else. It's not because it's taller than everybody else. But it has something wired on the inside of it that does not allow it to be ordinary. And I pray that what makes you extraordinary will be ignited in your spirit even as you journey ahead into 2024. May God ignite things in your spirit. May God ignite things in your soul. May God ignite things in your mind that will let you understand that you are not an ordinary Christian. You are not an ordinary human being on the face of the earth, but you are here to make it count. May God give you the dominion. May God give you dominion. Can I talk to only 1,000 of you? May God give you dominion. May you dominate in your realm. May you dominate in your industry. May you dominate in your field of endeavor. May God give you dominion. The lion roars and it stops any encroachment and any adversarial incursion. If there is any insurgency, it is the roar of the lion that puts it in check. And I just came to roar over the life of somebody that if the devil was coming against you, from today we roar and we say that not on your life. If the devil was after your business, we roar against it. Look at somebody and tell the person, start roaring in the spirit realm. Can you touch somebody and say, roar and defend your territory. Roar and defend your children. Roar and defend your career. Roar and defend your ministry. Roar and defend your relationship. Whoever was coming against you, we roar in the spirit and we stop them in their track. We stop whatever the encroachment will be in the name of Jesus. We roar. We roar. We spoke about the ox. It's quite interesting because the ox is a symbol of service. The ox, it serves. And as you journey into 2024, those of you in leadership, whether it is corporate or political, you have to have the mindset of a servant. Because the ox serves. It serves and it complains not. It serves. It will till the ground. It works. It makes things work as well. The ox doesn't only serve, but I told you the last time that it has endurance. You see, the joy of our faith is that our strength is borrowed. That's the joy of our faith. We have borrowed strength. What do you mean? It means that the strength that I'm using is not my own. I use a supernatural strength from a supernatural source called my Savior and my King. And so if you were thinking that what I'm doing was going to collapse in a year or two, you are going to wait for a very long time because there is something called borrowed strength and I have endurance. Can you look at somebody and say, I have endurance? No, that's the wrong neighbor. Look at somebody and tell the person, I have endurance. So that's what God is placing on your life, the ability to endure. That is what the ox does. It endures, is able to outrun, is able to outwork, is able to outlast. And in this new season, my prayer for you is that you will outlast your competitors. Whoever was competing against you and thought that you were going to get tired and grow weary. The last time I checked, the young man shall faint and they shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. The last time I checked, you shall mount up with wings like that of the eagle. The last time I checked, you shall walk and not faint. You shall run and not grow weary. May God give you the ability to outlast. May God give you the ability to endure. And so if they thought that you were going to collapse and just exit, they are going to watch for a very long time. God is going to set your feet on higher grounds. God is going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God will anoint your head with oil that your cup will run over. The last time I checked, my word says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell. Look at somebody and say, there is a dwelling grace. There is an enduring grace. There is an establishing grace. There is a covenant of endurance. I have been given the mandate to dwell. And so if you were thinking that, oh, the business that he has started is just going to fold up in 3 months, you are going to wait for a very long time because I am given the ability to endure. If you were thinking that the boy was going to die at 30 or die at 40 or the lady was going to die at 50 or die at 60 or 70, you are going to wait for a very long time because 1,000 shall fall on my left, 10,000 shall fall on my right, it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes I shall see and behold the reward of the wicked. Why? Because God has given me the grace to endure, the grace to outlast, the grace to outlive. And so those who thought they were going to come to your funeral, you're going to live and you'll see them exit. Why? Because God places on you the ability to outlive others. Look at somebody and say, God has given me an ability. Can you tap 7 people real quick and tell them, God has given me the ability? Oh, I thought you were tapping 7 people. I didn't know you were not neighborly. We are going into a new year. You have to like people, love people. Penipa, penipa. That's what I'm saying. Be neighborly. And tap somebody and tell the person, I'm going to endure. I'm going to outlive. I'm going to live long. I'm going to outlast. I'm going to be here. And so if they thought that, well, you have to get used to me because I'm going nowhere. You have to just get used to me because I'm going to be here for a long time. Get used to me because I'm going to be here. I'm going to outlive my contemporaries. Look at somebody and tell the person, get used to me. Get used to me. If the way I dance offends you, get used to me. If the way I praise God is offensive, get used to me. If the way I go to church offends you, get used to me, because I'm going to be here for a very long time. If the way I do my things is offensive to you, just get used to me, because I'm going to be here for a very long time. I have the grace to outlive others. Look at somebody and say, I have the grace. And that yours doesn't only have endurance, but the last time I checked, I told you the last time, and it remains true even today, and it will be like that forever, that when the yours is under attack, the horse has a hump at the back. If you see nenchie obehu se owa chacha sane fre no okokumase a fre na chacha menim se demu fre no nkran min tin kran. How do they call it in Ghana? Asana afu afuche afu. So every us will have afu. We'll have something. It's called a hump at the back. And if you look at it, you think that it's a deformity. But God in his wisdom gave it to the us as a protective mechanism. That when the us is under attack, there are a lot of insects and parasites around. And there is something coming against the ox. The ox will retract. It will go backwards. And when it does, it allows the hump at the back to melt. That's the mechanism God gave it. It melts and it becomes oil on the skin, such that the mosquitoes or the parasites will not be able to bite through. And if it was any other animal with canines, it cannot bite into it. As soon as you try to bite into it, it slips. Why? Because there is oil all around it. And I pray for you that as you journey on, God will place oil all around you, that God will anoint your head with oil, that whatever eats others will not eat you, whatever destroys others will not be able to destroy you, whatever bites into others will not be able to bite into you. May the oil of joy be given to you. May God bring you the oil that will give you an advantage, an oil that will give you that endurance, an oil that will cause your face to shine, an oil that will put you in a place of relevance. The oil, God said, the Bible says that he anoints my head with oil, that my cup run over. From today, I pray for you that may God anoint your head with oil, that your cup will run over. May God anoint your head with oil, that your cup will run. Can I speak to somebody until it reverberates in your spirit? May God anoint your head with oil, that your cup will run over. May God anoint your head with oil, that your cup will run over. over. May God anoint your head with oil. Wherever you go, may God anoint your head with oil. May your children be anointed with oil. May your enterprise be anointed with oil. May what you represent be anointed with oil. May God anoint the works of your hands with oil. May God anoint you with oil, that your cup will run over. It's not something that just brings separation, but it's also a protective coat or layer that is placed on the ox, so that no weapon formed or fashioned against it shall prosper. And I make a prophetic declaration. I sound an alarm in the spirit that as you journey on, because of the oil of God on your life, no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. And any tongue that will rise against you is already condemned in judgment. Because of the oil on your life, 1,000 shall fall on your left, 10,000 shall fall on your right. Jesus. It shall not come near you. Yes. Only with your eyes you shall see. Yes, and behold the reward of the wicked. Yes. Because of the oil on your life, what others struggle to get, Jesus, may God bring it to you. Amen. Because of the oil on your life, Jesus, what kills others will preserve you. Because of the oil. Yes.
Oh, I love it, because the oil sets people apart. And I pray that may the oil be the separator. The oil, may it bring the line of demarcation and distinction. Jesus. May the oil give you an advantage. May the oil place you in that realm where your forehead will be stronger than your adversaries. May your face begin to shine because of the oil. May your face begin to shine because of the oil. May your face.
Yes, Lord.
I love it, but I got to the place when I was going around the creature, and I saw that by the ego and by the man, by the ego and by the lion and by the ox was also the face of a man. Now God allowed humanity to be in the midst of divinity. That God allowed a similitude, a semblance of a man to stand in his presence. And I read it, and I just wanted you to understand everything that I've said to you will not make sense until you realize that although God wants you to have the courage of a lion, and although God wants you to have the vision of an eagle, and although God wants you to be anointed and have the industry, the courage, the endurance like that of the ox, God still wants you to understand that you're human. In spite of all of that, God wants you to understand that you're human. That is why in the book of John 11, you have read it before, and when Jesus was in his full array of humanity, when he had the full regalia of humanity, the Bible says, and Jesus wept. God could have just omitted that from the books, but he allowed it to be there so that you will not begin to think that you are a Superman. That sometimes in life will bring you to a place where you have to cry and it's all right. I have met people who, when they are going through some things and they break down and they are crying, and people are telling them, no, that does not prove that you are a believer. Who told you that? And Jesus wept. That the loss of a father can cause you to weep. The loss of a mother can cause you to weep. I have known people, and there are people like us, we try to place people on a pedestal that is not achievable. We try to make sure that we put people on certain planes and pedestals that are impossible, because we fail to realize that although a side of them is like that of the eagle, and a side of them is like that of the horse, and a side of the same man of God or woman of God or child of God, a daughter of Zion, a son of his grace and cross, a side of this life is that of the eagle, a side of this life is that of the horse, a side of this life is that of a lion, but there is also another side that can fall sick sometimes. There is also another side that is human, and wisdom requires that you don't only rest in only the places of you being a lion, an eagle, or an horse. That if you are tired, you have to take time off and rest. Even as you journey on, I want to tell you this, that sometimes your body will tell you, I'm tired, and that is the
face of the man at play, and you have to have the wisdom to rest when you are tired. You have to have the wisdom to take painkiller when you need to take a painkiller, and not think that, no, I am a lion and the righteous shall be as bold as a lion. There is a face of yours that is human, that is flesh, that is carnal, that is natural. And so if you have to take your multivitamins, take them, take them. If you have to be on a well woman, take your well woman. If you have to be on a well man, take your well man. If you have to be on zinc and B12 and B15 and vitamin C and vitamin D, that is a sign of your humanity. Don't go away from that, because in your wisdom you live. Do you know how many people that only thought they were lions and eagles and oxes and failed to appreciate that there is a side that was man, and they only relied on that and they died young. They died without caution. They died because my mother died because some prophet that sometimes when I see him, I want to go and beat him up, told my mother, if you take that medication, it means you have accepted your sickness. It's a midwife. My mother died at the age of 40 something. About 41. And when she had chronic, and all the people in her line, my mother's side, all of them, they have high blood pressure. And you start having it from age 20 and thereabout. And so they take medication. All my aunties and the people that I know in my mother's line, they are all on the pressure medication. All of them. My mother was the most spiritual amongst them. My mother would take us to prayer camp. We'll pray. Sometimes I'm wondering, this woman, doesn't she know that I don't have the problem she has? She'll take us to prayer camp. We'll pray. And when she's fasting, because she's fasting, we are all fasting. By default, we are fasting because mom is fasting. No, on one when you be the oh yeah, come check. So my mother will take, by my mother, all the other siblings, they are there. In fact, the ones that come after and the one ahead of her, who is about 80 now, she's still there. They are there and they are still on their medication and they are living. My mother, who was the most prayerful, the most spiritual, passed at 41. Why? Because she was only being exposed to her side as a lion. She was only being exposed to her side as the eagle. But who told you that medicine is an enmity unto God? Is it not God that raised men and gave them the wisdom to be medical practitioners? Is it not God that has raised Dr. Sarkodie? Is it not God that has raised Dr. Daniel? Is it not God that has raised Dr. Ejari? Is it not God that has raised Dr. Ad? Is it not God that has given them the wisdom? And when you go to them, they will be able to tell you that when I look at these symptoms, this thing is going to help you. Be on these vitamins and you're going to get your life all right. Because God is a spirit and it is your duty to take care of your body so that the spirit can use you. That is why if you die today, God will look for another vessel and use them. Any vessel that is fit and ready, God will use them. You have to know and understand that there is a side of you that is human. Don't only bask in that thing that you are spiritual and you lose your humanity. That is why our marriages are failing. Because the time to spend with your husband or with your wife, you think you are a lion. So your husband wants to spend time with you. You are a lion. But there is a side of you that is human. And God wants you to understand this. Jesus is giving us a lesson. When you read your account on his way, what they call Del de la Rosa,
the way or the road of the blood. I mean, on his way, when he was carrying the cross, he fell. It took Simon from Cyrene to help Jesus. In fact, they called him 33-year-old man, Jesus, naked on the floor, carrying the cross on the floor, couldn't walk again. And they called somebody, and Jesus did never say that I am the King of Kings, allow me to bear my burdens alone. At that point, Jesus knew that it was his humanity. And in your humanity, sometimes you need the help of other people. Be humble enough to say, I need help. Be humble in your humanity enough to say that this thing, I have no idea. Could you please teach me? I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do a paparazza. Can you help me? I don't know how to do Reverend Quine. Those are my specialties. That's what I cook better. My sister is there, you can ask her. When we were young, I was the one cooking for all of them. So I can do Reverend Choir Preference. I can do all of them. Ask her. And still, if I don't dare me. But you have to get to a place where you are humble enough that you are human. That if Jesus in his divinity, and when he made the transition into the human realm, allowed help. Sometimes allow help. Why about it? To allow yourself to be helped. No, I'm telling you. Because we are only resting on the other sides of our faith. The eagle at play, the horse at play, the lion at play. And we fail to realize that there is a human in there. So we are not relational. That's why you can't even say you are sorry. You have that arrogance about you. You can't even apologize because you think that you are above error. There is a human in there where you can offend other people. Jay-Z is there. She'll tell you that she was fighting me. Of course. And when she said it, I knew that, no. She has a point. Ask her. I said, oh, Jay-Z, they're all kind of udibim. I'm sorry about that. Why? Because I am a work in progress. I am human. I have other sides that are divine. But there is another side of me that can err, that can make a mistake, that can do that. That's why, you know, that's why a lot of pastors can't even go to the hospital. So we have pastors that are in the last week. No, not last week. 2 days ago, they came to me and a pastor is sick. Kidney has failed. Both kidneys shut down. This was a pastor that was loud on radio everywhere. They know him. And they came to me. And they said, Doc, what do you think? I said, he needs dialysis. Hey, now sorry for you. I said, Mukuno. No, you are killing him. Because who told you that? I believe that we are spirit. God will do it. But in between God doing it and me waiting for him to do it, is there something that can bring me a temporary relief? So God is going to heal me. I believe that. But until the healing comes, can something be done to lessen my pain? And they are keeping this man. And that's the same thing. A lot of pastors are dying because they don't want to go to the hospital. They don't want to. You think that because you are prayer, and you pride yourself the whole year, I've not done medical checkup. Oh, for the past 5 years, I've not been to the hospital. You think it's a thing of joy. Who told you you go to the hospital because you are sick? You go to the hospital for confirmation that you are all right. Let me rewind it and press play.
Sometimes you go to the hospital just to check that the word of God is true, that he has kept you from evil. Sometimes you just do blood works. You do a complete metabolism panel. You check your LFT, your liver function test. You do your kidney function test. You check your lipid profiles. You check that your cholesterol is okay. You check that everything is all right. So that if something is not all right, you just go back to God and say, God, they said that this thing is elevated. I'm going to take what they said I should take. But I know you are my healer. This is just managing it. But you are the Lord that heals me. I appreciate that I'm a human being. So we have a lot of people dying young because they are only thinking of their divinity. But there is a side of you. Please be upstanding. I think I should wrap it up. There is a side of you. Look at somebody and say, there is a side of you that is human. That is why sometimes you feel lonely. That's why sometimes you have certain urges, because there is a side of you that is human. It's a side of you. I have learned that when somebody is heartbroken and the person is crying because somebody has disappointed her, I don't go and say, why don't you have faith in God? I don't do that. Jesus has given us the preamble. Rejoice with those that are rejoicing. If people are mourning, you mourn with them. Because there are times that people will mourn. You mourn with them. Just hold your hand and say, I understand, but I believe that everything is going to be okay. That's not the time for you to just pontificate over them. And people are placing you on a pedestal you can't match up. You can't. Do you know why? When they hear that a pastor has done something the world cannot appreciate and the world doesn't even know, they don't want to hear. You know why? Because we've put them on a pedestal, and they have allowed themselves to be put on that pedestal, that they are only showcasing their lion sides, their eagle sides, their ox sides, and the human is trashed. They are men and women before God chose them. And until the final days are done, that Jesus comes in his glory, everybody is a work in progress. I keep telling people, personally, I don't pursue perfection. I pursue progress. I allow him rather to perfect his works in me. But in my pursuit, I want to make sure that what I wasn't doing right yesterday, I do it right today. Whatever you were not doing right last year, have it at this year, have it at the back of your mind that going into 2024, you are going to progress and get better. Look at somebody and say, let there be progress. Look at somebody and say, pursue progress. Pursue progress. We don't want to be humans. I don't know what happened to us, but there is beauty in our humanity. The other day, Paul said, God, I don't want to be made human anymore. God looked at him and said, Paul, you must be out of your mind. Are you crazy? For in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. I will not be God if you are not a human being. I am God because you are human. And the day you stop being human, you will elevate yourself to where I am. And so I allow certain things to be there. You have to have that understanding that you can be a man of God, a woman of God, a praying child of God, and have a problem child. It's part of life. I have friends, pastors. One of them lost their wife to cancer some few days ago. The other day I was talking to Reverend Eastwood. He said, Doc, people don't understand how it feels like to lose your two daughters. Two biological daughters and some spiritual sons in an accident. And I believe people will be saying, but why? Is he not a man of God? Did he not see it? Why didn't he stop them from even starting the journey? Because in your mind, he's supposed to remain a lion, but there is a man part. And so there are people that abused him because they thought that it shouldn't be human. I have a friend, his church is just here. He has a son that is paraplegic. The boy is, I think, about 12 years old. The boy has never sat before, never walked before. The boy is a pastor, pastoring a big church. And the son has to be carried. He couldn't, 12 years, but because he'll be already bare, maybe 1.5 years or 2 years. And the joy with which on any wife they are serving God. And I meet them the day that they brought the child to me and I prayed with them. I asked myself that this is maturity, actually, not just from him, but also from the people around him. That although he has these sides, anything that can happen to any human being can happen to him too. So if you're a pastor and you are saying that any concept be born in a true Christian, and if a church member is to have that child and that condition, what do you have to say to them? Because we are only pushing the agenda of divinity and we don't see that there is a humanity in there. So your husband can be angry. That's the human side. Your wife can be off certain times. That's the human side. Allow people to grow. Love them. For you do not have a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. That means that one of the power, the grace, the strength that Jesus had is that he was able to empathize with other people. If we fail to appreciate our humanity, when people are going through stress, we won't even see it. That's why we are judgmental. And oftentimes, the people who condemn others, they do worse. Oftentimes, the people who condemn and criticize people, in their closet, they do worse. In your humanity, you empathize. You feel for other people. Can I get you lifting up your right hand? Okay, are there human beings here? I just want, maybe there are only spirits. And so if you know that you only have your, for you, God did not allow the human side to be part of you, this prayer will not be for you. You only have your lion side, you have your eagle side, and you have your ox side. You are triangular in nature. You don't have that of a, you have no, is there anybody who knows that there is a weakness you want God to help you in? No, I just want your right hand lifted. There is a flaw, you say, God, I need help with this. I'm just giving you, that's why I brought that up. He said, my strength is made perfect. And so you want to pray that, Lord, where I fall short as a human being, strengthen me, help me, guide me. I need your help. This body, this human flesh has a condition. There is a disease, there is an ailment, there is a sickness. I need help. There is a decision I want to make, and it is very human, physical, natural. I need your help. I want you to help me as my God. Help me. Lift your voice with me and begin to pray. Just lift your voice with me and pray. Just pray. Pray to the Lord God of your salvation. Pray to him.
I want you to pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. You need help?
Hide me, oh, thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through.
If you can sing that song, it's also a prayer. That in my humanity.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Bwedinyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m. and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word. Be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.